Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Friday, June 20th, 2014. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Tomorrow is the summer solstice. Longest, day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. Basically, officially, the middle of summer, and it is still below freezing in the Arctic. Now, remember, Al Gore, when he started this whole human-caused global warming, we're all going to broil, and it's your fault unless you give me money, predicted that the Arctic would be totally ice-free this summer. And it has absolutely not come to pass at all. It is a reminder that this human-caused global warming nonsense was a gigantic hoax to trick you out of money for carbon credits, carbon taxes, to get you to buy green products which cost more and do less, and to allow your life to be controlled in minutest detail by some global environmental authority. And again, it was all a fraud. It was all a hoax from a government that controls you with lies, fraud, and deception, and always has, and left to themselves, always will. All right, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Craig is sitting in our control room, hand hovering over that telephone, ready to swoop on down and grab it, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and concerns. Turning to the situation in Iraq, the fighting continues. There's an ongoing battle for the Baiji refinery, the largest refinery in Iraq, each side claiming that they're in control and flipping back and forth. And the fact that the combat is taking place around the refineries basically underscores that this was always about controlling the oil of Iraq and deciding what currency it would be sold for. Apparently, some of the storage tanks at that refinery are currently on fire. There are also battles near the Baiji and Telfar airport. And that's halfway between Mosul and the Syrian border. Clashes reported between the Iraqi government and the Kurds south of Kirkuk. A reminder that it isn't just ISIS, that other groups are coming in on board on the side of the Sunnis wanting to take their country back from U.S. proxy rule. And, of course, the U.S. government's having none of that. And Petraeus is already out there saying the U.S. must launch military strikes against the ISIS terror army. And how disappointed he is that Iraq has descended into chaos. Well, when you put a religious government in power that is focused on the Shiite and you abandon the Sunni, you create a highly unstable situation. But Petraeus is out there saying, yes, we have to go on back in. And Petraeus, if you really feel that way, here's your rifle, here's your parachute, here's your orange jumpsuit, and we're going to call Iraq and tell them you're on your way to kick their butts all by yourself. Meanwhile, Obama has said he will send 300 advisors to Iraq to aid the government in their fighting against those gosh darn Sunni militants, okay? And they're still out there saying they're not actually going to be in combat. These don't represent U.S. troops in combat. They're just advisors, which is how we got into Vietnam. We're not really fighting the war in Vietnam. It's their war, and they have to. We're merely sending them advisors. And, of course, it escalated tit for tat until finally we had this war that cost the lives of almost 60,000 Americans. What they're trying to do is sort of back into Iraq and hope you won't notice that's what they're doing. But, yeah, we're noticing it because it's the same tactic they used to get us into Vietnam, along with a notorious false flag hoax. Remember the Gulf of Tonkin situation? There was an inexperienced sonar operator on the USS Maddox, and he was training his hydrophones around, and he accidentally picked up the sound of his own ship's propellers. And he panicked and said, torpedoes, torpedoes, we're under attack, we're under attack. And the report went up the chain of command, and it was immediately followed by the captain of the Maddox saying the report is in error. And President Johnson took the first report of a torpedo attack, shredded the second one, saying it hadn't actually happened, went to Congress, and Congress said, yes, we will provide more men and munitions and whatever, and we got into Vietnam. That's how these wars get started. Julian Assange is out there saying, in a democracy, the people have to be tricked into war. Because under a democracy, people aren't going to vote for war. War is dirty, ugly, ill-paying business. You run the risk of losing important bits of your body, if not the whole body entirely. And people don't want to go to war. The government has to lie and trick you into it. Lusitania, USS Maine, all the rest of that, and just on and on and on. And I'm expecting them to try and gin up some new crisis to say, oh, yes, we have to go back into Iraq here. Now, apparently, Representative Barbara Lee, Democrat of California, tried to introduce a resolution in the House of Representatives to simply forbid combat operations in Iraq, to reassert that there cannot be a war in Iraq without the authority of the United States Congress, and apparently it was voted down. And the Obama White House is taking the position, well, if the House of Representatives isn't going to stop me, then I guess it's okay for me to go ahead. And again, that is not what is in that Constitution. But they're grasping at propaganda straws to get this thing moving forward and try and get you to go along with it. And the polls are continuing to show that, no, in point of fact, the American people are absolutely dead set against another war in Iraq. Now, there's an interesting story developing about how the officials in Washington, the Obama administration, are pressuring Maliki to step down and saying, you know, it's time for Maliki to go. He's a failure. He was supposed to keep Iraq pacified and under control, and he's obviously failed to do that. But I think what else is going on is the Obama administration is hoping that if Maliki resigns, the Sunnis might just stop where they are and life will go back to normal. I rather doubt it. A rage long in building is long in cooling, and if Maliki waits until the Sunnis are at Baghdad's gates, which is imminent, then there's no reason for them to stop, even if he flees, because the Sunnis and ISIS and the Kurds all understand that the real wealth of Iraq is in that oil-producing south. That's the prize. Now, Maliki is still continuing to resign. They offered him a deal that if Maliki would resign, they would the U.S. would send in air support to deal with the Iraqi people uprising. And that's the little deal, and Maliki is continuing to refuse. It looks like the U.S. may go ahead without the resignation anyway, because we're seeing reported in antiwar.com, U.S. airmen on standby to launch Iraq air war. Now, this article pointedly does not say drones. It says airmen and an air war. That is combat. Now, technically, their boots aren't on the ground unless they get shot down, and we know that ISIS has a bunch of brand new Stingers, conveniently dropped in place by the Iraqi security services that were trained and funded by the United States of America. But it is combat. If the U.S. airmen start flying an air war into Iraq, that's combat. Americans in combat in Iraq. Don't let them kid you about that. Meanwhile, over at the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon is warning against airstrikes in the country. He says it will be counterproductive, and he's absolutely right. And he says it's time for Iraq to have an inclusive government that brings all of the disparate parties in. Because all the first U.S. invasion and conquest of Iraq did was kick the Ba'athists out and put the Shiites in. And that was really not a good way to handle the situation here. Now, the other agenda that is starting to surface, and this is over at Blacklisted News, is that Washington, which had floated this idea during the first Iraq war, and they're floating it again, they're going to take Iraq and break it up into three regions, one for the Kurds, one for the Sunnis, and one for the Shiite. Now, of course, it is an act of ultimate arrogance for the United States to go on in and say, we're going to break up your country, especially so soon after screaming about the importance of preserving territorial boundaries when Crimea voted to secede from Kiev and then merge with Russia. Remember how the U.S. was going on about the nation's boundaries are sacrosanct, they can't be. And now here they're talking about Iraq. Well, we're just going to cut this piece off, we're going to cut that piece off, we're going to cut that piece on. It's another example of this completely contradictory foreign policy coming out of Washington, D.C. We have to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Ooh, Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years, and Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the ongoing situation with Iraq. And over the commercial break, I was looking at the Fox News feed, and they had some military expert out there going, oh, that... Oh, those Iraqis, you know, those Sunnis, they don't have the combat power to take Baghdad. And of course, they said this exact same thing about Saigon, if you remember how that worked. And remember, ISIS has modern American weapons given to them when they were being used to try and topple Syria's President Bashar al-Assad, plus when those 30,000 U.S.-trained and equipped Iraqi security forces dropped their stuff and ran, ISIS got to pick up a whole new batch of brand new U.S. military equipment. They've got so much, they're sending some of it back to Syria. I think it's very, very arrogant to say that in the present circumstance, that when you have the entire country virtually on the march against Baghdad, that Baghdad's going to be able to resist. Now, yesterday we were talking about our concern over this sudden flurry of stories regarding how the ISIS terrorists had captured Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons laboratory. And it was coupled with all these stories about New York as a terror target. And, you know, ISIS is threatening terror attacks on Europe. And ISIS is already inside the United States of America. And it seemed to be a pre-sale, if you will, for a new false flag 9/11 style attack to reverse the poll numbers on American support for a new war on Iraq. And interestingly enough, we pointed out during our show yesterday that, first of all, Saddam didn't have these weapons. When the inspectors went in after the 2003 invasion, they found that, in point of fact, Saddam Hussein had fully complied with the United Nations resolution calling on him to destroy the chemical and biological weapons. None were ever found. And, of course, we know he didn't have nuclear weapons either. So where is ISIS supposed to have found these weapons? Well, today they backed off the story a little bit, and even Fox News came out and said, well, their taking of the facility was more for a propaganda coup, a gotcha. We've got the building, and in point of fact, experts are saying there really isn't anything in the building that they could use to craft a chemical weapon. But that did not stop WorldNet Daily from coming on out and just wagging the ISIS has weapons of mass destruction propaganda. And they ran this story this morning. You know, they have access to a secret sarin poison gas production facility. Blah, 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 blah. So they're still pushing this thing. And it tells us that somewhere somebody is still thinking about, you know, we need a really good chemical or biological attack, you know, all across America. And that'll get the Americans riled up to go after those gosh darn Muslims. So it's still a reality. And cooler heads hopefully are going to prevail over this. But again, right now, our future course of history is pretty much under the control of whichever leader is the least mentally stable. And frankly, they're all kind of candidates, if you will, here. Now, let's see. We got this. We got the same story. They're basically trying to revive weapons of mass destruction. We must invade Iraq. They've got weapons of mass destruction. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, I know we lied to you the last time, but you can trust us this time. No, of course we can't. Over the last few years, we've come to understand that this government has lied to us about virtually everything. They don't dare tell the truth. They have to lie about everything, even trivial things, because if they ever actually told the truth about something, you might actually learn how to spot the difference. And they can't let that happen. Remember when we caught Bill Clinton lying about how he'd given up junk food, and then we caught him here at a McDonald's on Oahu coming out from a Big Mac attack? And you say, why are you even bothering to lie about that? Well, you know, to stay in practice, obviously. If all you ever see from a politician is lying, then you don't know that it's a lie. But if he's telling a lie and then he tells the truth and you can spot the difference, oh boy, his career is pretty much over. All righty, let's see. Now, concern is being raised, and this is over at RIMF.com, that Obama may try and exploit the ISIS situation in Iraq as a pretext for going on and invading Syria. Because they still want Syria, they still want Assad out. He's survived for 3 years all these covert attempts at an overthrow. The U.S. was funding and training ISIS in Jordan to sick on Assad, and now it's backflashed on them into Iraq. Now, yesterday, there was a press conference at the United Nations. Normally, press conferences at the United Nations go out over their webcasting system. You can go to the United Nations website, and you can look at the various press conferences and meetings that are going on. So yesterday, the Syrian mission to the United Nations convened a press conference, which featured international observers who had watched the recent presidential election in Syria. And 5 minutes into the opening comments, the UN webcast of this press conference was shut off. Okay. Now, fortunately, the entire press conference is still on video record, and we have linked to it from whatreallyhappened.com. And basically what they said is that the international observers found nothing suspicious in the recent Syrian presidential elections. Assad won, honestly, with a huge voter turnout, and that he won wasn't a surprise because he really had no credible competitors, opponents. But the real issue was how many Syrians made a point of getting out to those polls because they all knew he was going to win. They could have stayed at home, but no, they wanted to get out there and sent a clear message to the world. The Syrian people support Assad, and they want him there. And, of course, this demolishes the entire U.S. justification for 3 years of covert attempts at overthrow under the principle that the Syrian people are suffering under a cruel tyranny and we must go in and save them from the evil tyrant and make sure their oil is for sale only for the U.S. dollars and bring them the blessings of private central banking. And the U.S. government doesn't want the American people to know about that. And that may have been the reason why that live webcast magically went away. But in the age of the Internet, it didn't stop the word from getting on out here. All righty, let's see. We seem to have a couple of phone calls piling up here. I'm going to go ahead and take some calls, and we're going to come back to Iraq, and we're going to come back to Ukraine because the situation's getting really ugly. Linda in Ohio, aloha. Linda, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I've never called before, your show before, but my daughter brought up a question that her friends discussed, you know, and wanted to know, well, her friend said, this country was founded on immigration, mm-hmm. So what's the difference between now and then?
So well, the difference...
the
country wasn't founded on immigration. It was founded on conquest, walking into other people's land and just taking it over, which is what's happening now on that Mexican border. Now, there is this is the United States of America, and there is a legal process for people in other countries to come to the United States and become citizens. And for anybody who comes through that process, welcome, you know, come on in, have fun, go to Disneyland and, you know, join our community. But somebody who just walks across the border illegally, they're already by default criminals. And you need to understand, you can't just walk into Mexico and get a bunch of free stuff and a job and amnesty and everything. If you walk across the border into Mexico without their permission, they'll throw you in jail. Okay?
Yes.
So basically that's what's going on. Every nation has a right to control who comes and goes across their borders. There is no nation that has a totally open border policy. Even back when the United States was welcoming immigrants to build their labor force from Europe, they still had to go through immigration on that on Ellis Island, and those who were ill were quarantined, and those who had criminal records were sent back home. That's just common sense. Okay?
All right.
All right, we're going to let you go and switch over. Well, actually, no, we're coming up on a commercial break. Pat in California, I'm going to take your call as soon as we come back, okay? So we're going to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Watch out for the police. They're lurking in every corner. They'll beat you down for your stash. With handcuffs and guns, I bet they're having fun when they take away your cash. They're on the rise, this oversized gang of pirates on the seas. And don't you get booked by...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to take another phone call. Pat in California. Aloha, Pat. What's on your mind?
Howdy, Mike. I just had one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before Barack Obama became president, was he legal representation for Acorn? Was there some kind of a scam on that?
Okay, Pat, I want to ask you a question. We're here talking about Iraq. We're on the verge of all-out World War III. We've got the IRS scandals and the rest of it. Why all of a sudden did Acorn pop into your mind as what you wanted to talk about most?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you last week. I called in, and there was so many people online I had to wait, but I guess...
Well, I'm sure you can find some online resources, but, Pat, I'm going to let you go, and we're going to close the phone lines for at least the next half hour here, because I'm looking at all this list of phone calls, and it seems like there is a group of people who are trying very hard to pull the show off the focus of what's going on in Iraq. And I really do want to keep the show going in this direction and into what's going on in Ukraine here. So no more calls about things that happened long, long time ago or way out on the irrelevance. And I'm not saying that immigration isn't relevant. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But right now, I want to stay on what's going on in Iraq because of the extreme danger that this is going to spiral completely out of control. And the money junkies and the governments that are slaves to them are so desperate to get this thing going that they will do anything, emphasis on anything, to get this situation moving forward. Now, one of the big issues, of course, that the U.S. government is trying to obfuscate is the fact that this ISIS group was trained and funded by the United States to send against Bashar al-Assad. Now they've turned and gone the other direction. It's called blowback. That's a term of craft in these covert operations here. It's like when the United States was training and arming the Mujahideen up in Afghanistan to help kick out the Soviet Union. Then the U.S. abandons Afghanistan, the Taliban came into power, and all of these armed militants start realizing they got double-crossed. It's called blowback, and it's what you get when you're thinking only a few months ahead on these propaganda covert operations. Back in Syria, ISIS were the good guys, and we were giving them guns and bullets and all kinds of stuff. And now that they're in Iraq, aimed back at us, now they're the bad guys here. Now, I want to go to a flashback from the Washington Post from last March 12th. where Iraq's Sunni tribal leaders were already saying what's going on is a revolution. This is a popular uprising. The Sunnis, ISIS, the Kurds, we're getting all these reports of just ordinary people of Iraq are just joining in on this movement. They are sick and tired of U.S. proxy rule. This is a repeat of what happened in Iran in 1979. And it shows that this U.S. model of covert overthrow and obedient compliance by the general population has failed, both here in Iraq, down in Libya, and certainly up in Ukraine. The old model doesn't work any longer. Another article coming out of, this was over on YouTube. We have it linked to whatreallyhappened.com. ISIS closes in on Baghdad, joined by former allied tribes turned enemies. In other words, allies of the Maliki government have changed sides. And this is more confirmation. This is a popular revolt against U.S. puppet rule. It's not terrorism. It's not militants. It's not insurgents. It's a popular revolution by people who want their country back from the money junkies. And I guess probably one of the reasons we're not seeing a whole heck of a lot about this on the corporate media is it is not going very well at all. Story out of ex-Republic TV is calling it a blitzkrieg by ISIS and saying that the ISIS and the Kurds and the Sunnis have obvious, very smart military planners and operators. It's difficult to stop them. Why? They were trained and equipped by the United States of America to send against Assad. Another article about what's really going on over here. Iraqi hydrocarbon prize of U.S. invasion in danger. And it basically goes down on how Iraq's, before the 2003 invasion, Iraq's domestic oil industry was fully nationalized. It was owned by Iraq and Iraqi companies, and it was closed to Western oil companies. And Saddam was selling Iraq's oil for the euro with the permission of the United Nations. So they invade, take over control, start handing out the oil franchises, along with the condition Iraq's oil sold only for the U.S. dollars. Now then, interesting little story over at Stephen Goddard, WordPress.com, pointing out to a little bit of irony, because as this Iraq situation continues to unfold, we have all these people who are coming out and admitting that, yeah, back in 2002 and 2003, the government was lying about Saddam's nuclear bombs and the justification for Iraq, and it was all a complete lie. But rest assured, you should go on believing us when we tell you about human-caused global warming. They're trying to de-link each exposed lie from the new lie. And that, of course, is a futile effort. Because once you catch the government in lies, the prudent and wise thing to do is assume it is all lies, which it proves out to be. Anyway, Megyn Kelly totally owns Dick Cheney over his terrible Iraq track record, and she was responding to his editorial where he tried to put the blame for the mess in Iraq totally on President Obama. And Megyn Kelly wasn't having any of it, and she threw it back on him, saying, look at all the claims you made. We were going to be greeted as liberators. The oil was going to pay for the war. The American people wouldn't have to pay for any of it. All of it completely wrong. Over at CNN, Aaron Burnett was taking Paul Bremer to task over the absolute disaster of Iraq. And the reason it is perceived as a disaster is simple. We were told the invasion of Iraq was about getting Saddam's nuclear weapons, which he didn't have, to punish Saddam for taking part in 9/11, which George W. Bush admitted on video. He didn't actually have anything to do with it. And to punish Iraq for supporting al-Qaeda, which turned out also to be false, because Saddam's was a secular government and al-Qaeda espouses theocratic rule. And the only evidence that was linking Saddam with al-Qaeda turned out to be a completely forged document here. So, tip of the hat to Aaron Burnett, and it looks like the corporate media is finally catching up with the independent media and standing up to all these government lies and calling them on it. So, well done, guys. Absolutely well done. And if the U.S. government can't rely on the corporate media to go along with the lies, it's starting to fall apart real fast. Now, article out of rawstory.com, there's been a study done by the Dutch peace group PAX that confirmed that during the 2003 invasion of Iraq, the United States was using depleted uranium rounds in civilian areas. Now, ever since that 2003 invasion, there has been a hideous cruel epidemic of serious birth defects, not only among the people of Iraq who were in those combat zones, but among the families of our returning veterans from that war. They survive the war, they come back, they get married, they start to have a family, and they have a child who's born with serious birth abnormalities. It's a very cruel price to pay for your service in uniform. The U.S. government's official position has been, oh, no, 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 we never use those radioactive rounds in civilian areas. Well, that's just, you're all just making it up here. But apparently, between soil samples and various other scientific tests, this Dutch peace group has said, yeah, there is absolutely no question. The U.S. was using these radioactive munitions in civilian areas in Iraq. Now, I'm starting to see a whole bunch of articles, and I'm getting phone calls, and a lot of the other independent media are getting phone calls from current serving military saying they absolutely will not obey unconstitutional or illegal orders by the U.S. government. And this is sort of the legacy of Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who was just seriously abused by the military for saying, this war is illegal, I will not fight in it. Now, remember, coming out of the Nuremberg Tribunal, it was established as a principle that I was following orders is not a legal defense for committing a war crime. And together with that came the concept that ordinary soldiers have a moral and legal right to refuse to carry out orders they know to be war crimes or illegal or unconstitutional. It's even in the Uniform Code of Military Justice for the U.S. Armed Forces. And more of the military is standing up and saying, we're not going to go along with these orders coming out of Washington, D.C. that constitutes war crimes, because that's what that first invasion of Iraq was, and that's what the current pending invasion of Iraq is. These are war crimes started with lies. And the reason it's all coming apart, and the reason everybody's under criticism, is the public was sold on the first Iraq war for weapons of mass destruction, 9/11, and aiding al-Qaeda, none of which were true. There was never a way to be able to win that Iraq war in the eyes of the public, because those causes for the war were fictional to begin with. And now we understand what the real agenda was, and even that's starting to fall apart. All right, we're coming up on a commercial break. When we get back, latest developments in Ukraine. Apparently, Poroshenko has today just announced there will be a week-long ceasefire in the fight against eastern Ukraine. But there are some qualifiers on it. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Microplant powder, available only at hempusa.org.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
What really happened? Wouldn't you like to know? Judith, Mike, and Pharaoh, really had to pray low. Tired of the mainstream media lies. Listening to Mike will really open your eyes. Judith, Mike,
and aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about developments in Ukraine. Now, Poroshenko has announced today there will be a week-long ceasefire in the ongoing conflict with the independence fighters in eastern Ukraine. Now, Poroshenko is trying to put on a facade that he's willing to compromise by rewriting the Kiev junta's new constitution to allow a little more regional control. So that means these eastern Ukrainian provinces will be able to decide for themselves what color to paint the government buildings out there. But it really is just for show, because the main issue is keeping all of Ukraine enslaved to the European Central Bank. Remember what Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's currency and I care not who makes the laws. So Poroshenko is saying, all right, we'll let him decide where the sewage lines are going to go and where the electricity is going to run and everything. It really doesn't matter, as long as they remain part of Ukraine and we get the wealth from their working people. Except most of the working people are now already across the border into Russia. There's a huge global refugee problem right now, the worst it's been since the end of World War II. Now, Poroshenko is offering a new plan that he's offering to eastern Ukraine, which basically involves a little more regional control. In other words, if you're the mayor or the governor, you'll have a little more authority than you did have before. I think this far into the bloodshed, I don't think that's really going to go very far, especially because Poroshenko is absolutely refusing to have any talks with the representatives of the self-proclaimed republics. He doesn't want to talk to them. He only wants to talk to people in eastern Ukraine who are sympathetic to Kiev. Both of them, I guess. The violence up until the ceasefire has continued. We're getting sort of dueling numbers, because Western media is saying 7 soldiers were killed in eastern Ukraine and their bodies dutifully returned to the authorities for proper burial. Eight more soldiers captured in Idar. apparently one of the victims of Kiev is the mother of a five-year-old boy, and the boy himself is seriously wounded. We're hearing from other sources that some 800 of the Kiev forces have been killed. Everybody lies in a war. Truth is the first casualty of war. Now, as you're probably already aware, over the last few days, there's been a huge, huge stink raised about the fact that Russia is moving their military forces around on their side of the Ukrainian border. As if that's a bad thing. When you've got literally a civil war on the other side of your border, you do want to maintain security. Turkey's doing it. Turkey is moving resources to their border with Syria, and it would make sense Russia would just want to be prepared in case the civil war comes across the border, the way the war in Vietnam exploded into Cambodia. And the security appears to be a valid concern because earlier today, a Russian checkpoint on the border between Russia and Ukraine was shelled. And Moscow is now demanding an explanation from Kiev, because we know it's not the pro-Russian Eastern Ukrainians who were doing this. Somebody in the Kiev forces opened up with a mortar on the Russian checkpoint. I think it's another provocation trying to get Russia to come across the border, like when they drove that armored personnel carrier across the border and then just abandoned it so Russia would find it there. Kiev is trying to get Russia to do something overt, which would then allow the United States to directly intervene inside Ukraine. Meanwhile, Putin has called an emergency meeting with the Security Council of the United Nations to discuss what's going on in Ukraine, and we already know what the U.S. representative is going to be saying in that meeting. Veto, 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 veto. And upping the ante, the United States has now imposed sanctions against the leaders of the self-proclaimed republics of Luhansk and Donetsk. They're out there back there saying, we sanction you, we're going to sanction you. How dare you break away from the government that we installed by force. Now, you're going to love this one. This one, you know, Friday, kind of a light story here. Okay, there is a story. This is in the Daily Mail in Great Britain. And it says, Putin has a spy plot to halt fracking in Great Britain. This is coming out of NATO. NATO is saying the opposition to fracking is a Russian plot to keep Europe dependent on Russian energy. So forget about exploding tap water and dead fish and intoxication of the ground and everything. Opposition to fracking is an evil Russian plot. I wonder when they're going to try and blame Putin for global warming denial. Meanwhile, over at Greenpeace, they've responded to this comment saying, what are you guys smoking? You know, with this idea that NATO is saying that opposition to fracking is a secret evil Russian plot. The propaganda is just getting pathetic and desperate. It's not even subtle. It's not even well thought out. Maybe Greenpeace is right. Maybe over at NATO they are toking it up. I'm just going to get the Pope angry with them because Pope Francis is opposed to legalization of marijuana. Although, after that comment about baptizing the Martians, I think maybe Francis is having a puff or two himself here. Netanyahu has come out with a statement. They expect Abbas to dissolve the new unity government. Ever since Fatah and Hamas got together, Netanyahu has been playing every dirty trick he can to try and shatter the unity government. He wants to keep Fatah and Hamas separate so Israel can go on playing their little game of, we can't have peace talks, we don't know how to have. We don't know who we have to have peace talks with. We can't talk to Hamas. We can't talk to Fatah. Nobody knows who's in charge. And so as soon as Hamas and Fatah formed a unity government, Netanyahu went ballistic, was literally threatening the United States government. Don't you dare recognize that unity government. You're not allowed to do that. We here in Israel control America, and you're not allowed to do that. This ginned-up story over the three missing Israeli teenagers, one of whom is actually an American, dual citizen. And again, they vanished from an area held and controlled by the IDF. They disappeared. Everybody said missing. And then one of these kids conveniently got to a phone and said, oh, no, we were kidnapped. We've been kidnapped. Didn't say where they were. Didn't trace the phone call. Netanyahu simply declared it's Hamas, and he's used it to launch military strikes. And apparently Israeli troops killed a 14-year-old boy as part of their operation to find and rescue these three teenage kids. Now, remember, Israel has been murdering an average of three children in Palestine every day going back to something like 2002. But we're only supposed to care about these three missing teenage Israelis to justify what is basically an all-out effort to go in and just stamp down Hamas once and for all. Another story coming out of Palestine Solidarity. Israeli forces basically walked into a town of Awarda. 50 Israeli soldiers surrounded the village. 20 kicked in the door of a house and arrested this guy, Samir Abu Shaib. And they handcuffed him and interrogated him. And he was not accused of any crime, but he was blindfolded and simply taken away. Locations unknown. This is the sixth time they've arrested this guy. And that kind of treatment is coming to the United States of America because all of our domestic police departments are being trained by Israel. ADL is bragging about it in their fundraising literature these days. Meanwhile, over at the Presbyterian Church, the motion to divest from all investments with companies doing business in the occupied territories has passed out of committee and goes to a general vote. And it's being wildly applauded. Over at the Protestants, they've decided to table the issue. But the boycott and divestment movement is growing, and boycotting is a legitimate form of protest protected by the First Amendment because it's peaceful. You're not causing any violence. You're simply saying, I don't want to buy your products. I don't like the way you make them. I don't like how you abuse your workers. I don't like the fact that the labels are often fraudulent, saying where they're coming from. Boycotts are a legitimate form of protest. Gandhi used them, and we are using them. Now then, there is yet another letter circulating through Congress, being signed by all the members of Congress, calling for more sanctions on Iran. And it's caused a lot of concern among various pro-diplomacy groups, saying that the exact meaning and intent of this letter needs to be clarified, because it's written in very vague terms that could be interpreted a multitude of ways. We have to take a break for our top of the hour segment. We'll be right back.